I'm Steve Martin. Welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. My guest today, Laura Orshaw. Laura is a phenomenal singer, fiddle player. I've had two of her singles so far that you've heard on Unreal Bluegrass. Hank was the first release, and then she released On Her Own. We're going to talk about Laura and all of her great skill and the Poe Ramblin' Boys a little bit because she's a part of that band. But then we're going to play for you a world premiere, the single that's not been released yet, thanks to the good folks at Dark Shadow, Stephen Mogin, Yanni Mogin, and Laura agreeing to do this. At the end of our conversation, you'll hear a world premiere of another great song from Laura. I can't settle down. I really do enjoy the music she's making. I love the approach she takes. I love her vocals. I think you're going to love her, too. Let's hear Hank, and then we'll get into our discussion with Laura Orshaw right here on Unreal Bluegrass. Listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard one of my very favorite new songs. I've said this on the air before. You just heard Hank, a release from my guest today. I'm so happy to have Laura Orshaw. How are you, Laura?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's so good to be here with you, Steve.
We were so close the other day. This is a funny story to me because we plan these things out. I just don't spring up on people. And you were so kind to me. I got so hung up that I could not get back to where I was going to do the recording from. And I was very apologetic, and you were so nice to say, let's do it tomorrow and another date. So here we are, and I'm so glad that you had that flexibility because I really wanted to talk to you.
Worked out just great. Yes, great. Thank you.
Listen, we're going to talk about Hank. We're going to talk about a couple of new songs, one that's brand new that will debut on April 22nd. That's the last one we'll talk about, and you'll intro that one, too, as we get to I Can't Settle Down, great song. But I know you from the Poe Ramblin' Boys, and I know you from the songs that I have now. And now I know that you grew up on the border of Pennsylvania and New York because we talked about that before we went on the air. But tell me a little bit about Laura Orshaw. Hank just grabbed me. And, of course, it's a song about Hank Williams, but it's such a different take on it. And the energy and the vocal and the playing and the fiddle, I'm just crazy about that song. And the rest of them have not disappointed me at all.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Steve. Thanks for giving it all. Listen, I'm just thrilled to be able to put this project out on Dark Shadow Recording. I've been doing a lot more, nationally in the bluegrass scene over the past 5 or so years. Played with Danny Paisley in the Southern Grass, and
yeah.
I played with Alan Bybee in Grasstown.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, like you mentioned, I grew up in Pennsylvania, right on the New York PA border, and my grandmother and dad both played bluegrass and old country music. And my dad actually had a bluegrass radio show that he hosted every week.
Really?
Yes. So I remember as a little kid, he would do drawings where people would get a prize or something over the radio. And he would get me to come in the room and draw the name out of the hat for who won that week. So I have long time experience with bluegrass radio shows.
That's important. That's important.
Part of that was, I had a really great catalog of albums that my dad had collected for the show that I had access to growing up. So Hank Williams was definitely in that catalog and one of my favorites. So it was kind of cool to find this song that really spoke to when you first hear an artist like that, and it makes a real impact on you. And me as a developing singer and the songs Hank wrote, so it was cool to be able to pay tribute to that with this tune.
And I'm older than you, I'll just tell you that, but he's still impacting people. Like when you heard him and when people find Hank Williams, it opens up a whole nother world of music and just this incredible poetic ability that he had. But so still, tomorrow, someone for the first time will listen to Hank Williams and react like you or I did or have their own reaction. But how do you do that after all these years? You still have these great songs and you're able to be impacted by Hank Williams. And it's resulted in the song you've recorded, Hank. But, I mean, what is it? Tell me what it is about Hank Williams that makes me so popular. Then you and I can adopt that, and then we can be popular.
Some of the things he sang about, the things he wrote about, are just pieces of human nature that, go on forever. So they're really timeless. But I think there is something to his vocal quality, too, that really draws you in. It's almost like he's talking to you while he's singing to you. So, I've kind of really studied singers like that through the years, and it just draws you right in.
Well,
and also, that you were saying the impact of Hank Williams across the globe. Some of these musicians that we know and love, this song I actually got from a New Zealand indie folk duo called Tattletale Saints.
Hmm.
And, you know, I listen to some music outside of bluegrass and country, but not a lot. Some related styles like blues or Celtic music.
Yeah.
But my friend Bebe Bowness, who plays banjo with Mouthwell.
She is fantastic. She is phenomenal. So go ahead.
Incredible. So she's from New Zealand and knew these folks who had the Tattletale Saints band. So she actually introduced me to their music. Of course, they wrote this song, had a very, very different take on it. But when I heard it, I just couldn't believe. I thought, how is it that somebody who lives on the other side of the world could hear Hank Williams' music and feel that same thing that I felt when I heard Hank Williams for the first time?
Isn't that something?
So just amazing how certain artists and tunes really just across the world and connect folks from totally different backgrounds. So I thought that was a really cool thing to be able to record it with Bebe, too, here now that we've known each other for 10 years and she lives in the Boston area, as I do.
She's such a good player. I see her every year. I know all over the place. And I'm just a fan of the band also, Mile 12. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago about singers. And the kind that really surprised me, I'll do this real quick in relation to Hank's talking to you as you described it. I felt the very same way, and I still do feel this very same way about, well, Lester Flatt, I think, was the best at just like, he's just talking to me. He wasn't singing. He was just, and Larry Sparks still to this day.
Oh,
it's like he's just talking, but they're singing. But it's that ability to make it sound like, not just vocally sound like they're talking, but they actually do seem to be speaking these words, but they're really singing, and it's hard to do. But that's something about that quality that I still, you put your hands on it right, that it's like they're talking.
I mean, I think some singers just really embody the music, and they're fully invested in it when they're telling that story. And it's not only that, but it's, you know, you gotta have the chops to really be able to deliver this full depth of emotion that some of these songs have. And that was, for me, the cool thing about being able to work with Stephen Mogin on this project, because Stephen has a ton of experience doing vocal education and coaching. So we could really dive deep into some of these songs and figure out what is it that I want to portray and present, and how can I get that across to whoever's listening, and what can I learn and develop in my own vocal style to be able to access that. So it's really exciting to be able to be with Mojin and kind of get through all these songs that we're going to hear some of them today.
To my favorite people, Stephen and Yana Mojin, and the audience on Unreal Bluegrass is very familiar with both through the music they provide, and also Stephen's been on the show, and I enjoy, I've known him for years. We served on the IBMA board together, get to know him much better through that.
So,
as far as someone to help you sculpt the sound and find the right thing that you're trying to do, I haven't mentioned the name of the album, Solitary Diamond. Is it Diamond or Diamonds?
Diamond. Solitary Diamond.
And we're looking at a May, 27th release?
You got it, yep.
Yeah, that'll be so exciting. So we know BB's on this song. Anybody else is filling in those ranks on Hank? And then we'll move on to the next one because we have so much to talk about.
Yeah, let me tell you, on Hank, I had Alan Bartram playing bass. I had Tony Watt playing guitar, and Casey Campbell playing mandolin.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A really great crew there, great folks to be with in the studio. Really good, you know, all innovators and on their instruments and really all in the studio and helping to create something that we were all going to be a part of the arrangements. And
Let me back up one more second. I'm talking to Laura Orshaw, if you just tuned in to Unreal Bluegrass. You mentioned the origin of the song being from a folk group in New Zealand. New Zealand that you connected with Bebe through, and you talked about a whole different take, and then we talked about how were they producing? How were they putting this song out?
They actually were, it was a very slow, very mellow, kind of a singer-songwriter, bass, guitar, and beautiful harmonies, great vocals,
mm-hmm.
But completely different energy, kind of a melancholy feel that will be like, you're ready to take a nap, and this is a soothing song, and our take is a little different than that.
Oh, this, your take is so, it's so powerful. That's the thing that struck me about it when I first played this. Like, whoa, I had to kind of grab onto the edge of my table. There's just pure energy. Your vocals are just pure energy. Your fiddle is so strong, and everybody else is just, it's really grabbed the edge of your chair or your table, wherever you're sitting, because slow and melancholy is not the version of Hank.
Right.
that Laura done?
Oh, and actually, Alicia Nugent was singing harmony on
it. Oh,
she
sure.
Really helped that.
Oh, I love Alicia.
The drive and that chorus with the high tenor lines.
Yeah,
that was
good,
fun.
Good. Yeah, Alicia was on the show when she released her album, I guess, about a year, last year. And I've always been a fan of hers and had the opportunity to get her. And I love the way she can belt into a song like, well, she can belt into a song like Laura Orshaw. And I think you have a tremendously powerful voice. I just enjoy that so much. And I also enjoy, I want you to talk a little bit about the second song that's been released. Was Hank the first release then, first single?
It was, yeah.
Okay, and that did very well. And now you've recently, more recently released On Her Own, which is not that high-powered, very, very up-tempo tune. It's a sad song, folks. Laura can do a sad song, but it's also there's a bit of humor in it to me. And the lyrics is because as it develops, it's like the song weaves in all these different song titles that we used. Talk about that a little bit, because it's sad, but it also makes me kind of smile in a funny way as the way the song is presented.
Yeah, well, this song comes from the pen of Jim Ringer, who is writing country songs for some of the big artists in the 1970s, a lot of the outlaw country folks. And this is one that he wrote and performed a little bit, but never got covered. And it tells the story about, when he's singing it, his singing partner, a woman who left playing music with him to go out there on her own and have her own music community. And he's mourning the loss of their music and their friendship.
Right.
And, when I heard this song for the first time, I connected with it, but more from the woman's side of the story. So I said, how can I make this work for me to sing it? So I, changed the lyrics around a little bit to come more from my perspective. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, this is just begging for, Dolly Parton, Porter Wagner-style duet
yeah.
with the male and female voices
putting the verses
and joining each other on the chorus.
Yeah.
So I had the opportunity to work with Trey Hensley, and he just, his vocal stylings fit this song perfectly. And then we had some fun with the arrangement, too. Actually, B.B. Bowness played banjo on this, too, and we had another great banjo player, Eli Gilbert, in the studio.
Mm.
And he was actually doing some camera work and videography for us, but, he's got a banjo, and he's there. And I said to Stephen, boy, I would love to have, twin banjo. I just love country banjo backup and breaks, and I feel like you don't hear a lot of it.
No.
And I think Stephen thought I was crazy. He was like, wow, this is one of her most interesting ideas yet. But to me, it was kind of like some of those, twin Telecaster or pedal steel parts.
I get it. I understand.
So he said, all right, we'll give it a shot. And it turned out pretty cool. So we have that coming up in several places throughout the track. Eli and BB doing a beautiful
it
twin
is.
Part.
It, that's the thing is I want people to understand. I'm not finished talking about On Her Own yet. But the musicianship is a quality that is well, let's say I talk about Laura's singing voice with her, or Alicia singing with her. I love all the vocals. Listen, you got Trey Hensley starting out on Her Own now, and or On Her Own, and Trey is as good a guitar player on the planet. He also has a very nice singing voice, and he's just one of those really smiley, happy people all the time. I've never seen him when he wasn't like ready to smile, and so all these things are going on in the same stroke. So you have him lead in. They'll hear this in just a second. I want you to introduce it. And you pretty much already have, but you have him lead in the song and then you, and I get the fact that it was a song about a woman that's left the band. It sounds a little bit different from your point of view, I think, and maybe tell us what we're going to hear about more from the Laura Orshaw, how you kind of made it your perspective. I think you did a little bit, but I want to hear a little bit more about that, and I want you to say, here's On Her Own.
Absolutely. So, there have been times in my music career where I felt like I had to move on from one endeavor to another to just accomplish something that was important to me. I wouldn't be able to set out and accomplish what I wanted to do if I didn't do it that way. But, boy, it's always hard. Our music industry is filled with so many wonderful, talented people, and it's always hard to make that transition, make that move. And you do mourn the loss of that time you had making music with somebody else. So, boy, this song really spoke to me in that in that realm, and I'm just happy that we got to arrange it the way we did and have Trey Hensley tag teaming with those vocal lines. And I am excited that you'll all be able to hear it right now. This is On Her Own.
Let's do that, and we'll be back in a minute to talk to Laura Orshaw. Thanks so much. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back. All right, that was it. Trey Hensley coming in with that. You know, it's a wonderful song. It's a wonderful song, and it's one of those sadder kind of songs, but with your interpretation of it, I get it. I would think about this too. He's not on his own, but I wonder what Blue Highway thinks about Rob Ikes not being on his own, but he and Trey kind of did this thing together, and it's working very well for him. But so he's somebody who's kind of on his own temporarily departed Blue Highway, great, great band, and then hooked up with Trey because I think there's similarities and they just kind of fit each other so well. But it's a neat sentiment. I'm really glad that you took it from your point of view, and you tie in all these little song titles. The lyrics, as we just heard, it's almost like a flow of song titles. I mean, there's one connected to the other, and didn't we sound good to get, you know, whatever, and then there's all these little old songs that drift through the lyrics.
I think those songs bring back memories for a lot of people. Many folks may have heard those in their family or on the radio
or have
a favorite artist. So it just really connects with a lot of folks.
I think so. I think I knew every one of them that's come in. So the people that listen are going to think, what did I miss? Well, I'll play it again on other programs. But just beware, the next time I play it, you should probably, to the audience, you should probably listen for every song title thing. There's probably a dozen. Or ten or a dozen. Maybe I'm miscounting, but there's a bunch of them that flow in there, but they're part of the song structure, and I enjoy that a lot. If you just tuned into Unreal Bluegrass, I'm really happy to talk to Laura Orshaw. We're going to get into her not-yet-released single, which will be released April 22nd, and the name of that is I Can't Settle Down. But first, I want to talk to Laura about currently people can find you on records and performing with the Pole Ramblin' Boys, which is just one of my favorite bands out there right now.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Yeah, it's been a blast to be able to play with them. I, you know, was a kind of a part-time member just coming in for a handful of shows in 2018 and 2019, and then beginning of 2020 was able to join as a full-time member. But, of course, things slowed down right at that point.
Solid,
so, really,
yeah.
You know, this past year and looking forward into the summer, we've got a very busy schedule, and the guys are even playing some of these songs from my album in our show, so folks will be able to hear them out on the road too.
There, as we talked a little bit off the air, Laura, just for the people listening, I don't do a lot of secret stuff off, but I just kind of get some ideas, and I may bring them up on the live broadcast as we're doing now, and I'm going to do this now. Smithsonian Folkways, I think, has the new Pole Ramblin' Boys release, is that correct?
That's right. Yep, just released in the past couple weeks. It was our first album with Smithsonian. They've really just been a treat to work for and have such a wonderful setup and mindset about preserving traditional music, but also making sure that it really grows and blossoms and is not held back by kind of this dusty archival image.
No.
So, and that's really, the Pole Ramblin' Boys are just all about that, kind of the exciting, energetic live show and paying tribute to our heroes and the people that we learn from, while also saying, hey, what do you think about this new tune? Let's write a song.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, try this arrangement out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's a credit to the band, to the music that you're all doing. Is to me, Smithsonian Folkways has always been this little gem. Not a play on Solitary Diamond, the new album, but it's always been this little gem to me that when I get stuff from them, when I get recordings from them, there's always a unique perspective and kind of a love of the artist from their point of view and a love of the music, and they also give a lot of great information. Let's put it this way, they're not afraid to put time and effort and money, I suppose, into the package, and meaning the information they give you and the way they promote it. And I think they're in a unique position to be able to do that because they don't always have to be profit motivated. There's nothing wrong with that, but they are art. They are preserving, as you say, and they are more willing, I think, and can, because of their position, to do great. And we talked off the air again about Dom Flemons has been on the show so many times I can't tell you, but his great music gets out from Smithsonian Folkways, and he's a great artist, and they're doing the same thing. They have to be doing the same thing. They've recognized that in the Pole Ramblin' Boys, so they're willing to invest their time and effort to preserve it and make it also modern, but also let everybody know this is part of the Smithsonian sound.
Yeah, you know, it was something we thought a lot about after COVID, because we weren't touring very much, and that was prior to that, the way we really sold our music and got ourselves out there and
right.
connected with people was
right.
just being there in person with them. And if we couldn't be with our fans or audience, you know, we're thinking, well, gosh, we want to make music, but how are we going to get it to people? How are we going to, you know, kind of pull them in to bluegrass? And we could really see Smithsonian's history in their innovative way of thinking about getting music out to people, and like you're saying, how they package it, the information that they put out there to folks, and the ways they think about tying it into
yeah.
everyday life. So we were just excited to be able to be a part of that vision, and it's really helped as we kind of come back into the touring world, but also think about other ways that we can
right.
connect with folks that might not have exposure to bluegrass music.
Right, yeah, they reach out to everybody and everything, and I don't want to not reemphasize the new album, Solitary Diamond, which is coming out on May 27th of this year, is with our good friend Dark Shadow, with Stephen Mogin. A kind of a brand new, not a brand new label, but what, half a dozen years, and making headway and connecting with great artists, and with the touch that Stephen has. Stephen is a regular with Sam Bush Band. Everybody probably knows that, but let's just say that's a regular gig for him and has been for a long time. So you have to have some chops to pull that off. And he also has great ears in the studio, in the recording studio, and he has great taste. He's a lot of good things. So this is great that Dark Shadow has picked up on your new solo release. Although you have all these people that we know, I'm always reluctant to say solo release, because it's not just Laura Orshaw singing. It's all these other great people under your name, and they're all great songs. This the last song we want to talk about is "I Can't Settle Down." You mentioned the two banjos in On Her Own, and you have three fiddles on this song we're going to introduce in a minute.
That's right. Boy, I love those kind of simple songs with a repetitive lyric that everybody can sing along with. And then this one even had kind of a built-in fiddle tune to it. So perfect excuse to have some guest fiddle players. And I got the chance to work with Janae Fleener and also Brittany Haas playing harmony on this track.
Man, oh, man. You know, if you want three fiddles, Laura and Janae and Brittany, I don't know how they could fit together any better. I'm very familiar with both of those other people also. I'm fortunate to run into these folks as I get to travel around and do whatever it is I do. But I also know from musical history, they are top flight fiddle players. I mean, there's just no other way to describe it. And you put all three of you together, that's just ridiculous.
It was a real treat for me. You know, I admired Brittany's playing for many years, and I've been living in the Boston area for the past 10 years or so.
Right,
and Brittany
yeah.
had been around here for quite a while and was a real influence on me when I first moved to town, being able to hear her play in person. And, you know, Janae, I'd been listening to for years as well, but had never actually met in person before this recording. So, again, you know, thanks to Dark Shadow and Steven for kind of helping me make some of these connections and see some really cool things come to fruition. So, you know, they all are, they have a quality of their playing where they really just, you know, go for it. A lot of rhythmic presence in their fiddle playing. And I just love that. And I also kind of love that, you know, Janae is known for more of her country fiddling, and Brittany's known for her old time fiddling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, seated in bluegrass. And the crossover of those three worlds is so important to me musically. So to be able to kind of actually see and hear that happening with this tune, we just created like a wall of sound.
I love it.
And it was such a cool force to be a part of in the studio, and I'm hoping people will hear that as they're listening to it.
I absolutely love it. I will tell you this, Brittany has promised that she will be on Unreal Bluegrass in the near future, and I just am so happy to be able to contact her. And we're working on some things. She's working on some things. Her people are talking to my people, which is me.
Yes.
I'm talking to Brittany. That's it. There's nobody in between. So so I've known Brittany and known of her for so long, and I'm so happy to be able to get her committed, and we're just going to find the right time. So we'll talk about Laura Orshaw and probably this song when she comes back on, so we'll get to re-hit this again.
Very cool.
Let's. I don't want to take all of your day. I appreciate your time, but we've talked about this song. We've talked about the album Solitary Diamond on Dark Shadows coming out May 27th, 2022. This song, I Can't Settle Down, is going to be released April 22nd. So as people hear this, it might be the first time they've ever heard it. So why don't you do a little bit of an intro to this song, talk a little bit more about the song itself. We've talked about the great fiddle presence. And then you speak about the song, and then I'm going to come back to you and just let you introduce it, and we'll play that, and then I'll let you go.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm excited people get to have a sneak peek of this on your show, Steve. This song, I Can't Settle Down, I used to think of myself as kind of a homebody. But in the past few years, I've realized that I love waking up on the tour bus and not knowing exactly where I am until I walk out the door. So that, you know, sentiment paired with the square dance kind of instrumental theme is what drew me to the tune. And it also reminds me, you know, growing up in Pennsylvania, New York, I went to a lot of square dances as a kid, and I played them, I danced. So it just has some really kind of a fun party sense to the song, and then the triple fills, you know, just icing on the cake. I hope it makes everybody kind of feel that energetic happiness. And it'll make you want to shuffle around the dance floor.
I think so. These are just so, I can't wait for the rest of the album. Laura Orshaw, I can't wait for the rest. And I know that I'll find it, and I know that it'll be available to me, and I'll make it available to the listeners. So with all that having been said, this is the brand new cut that hasn't been heard yet. It will actually be released April 22nd, which is after the broadcast date of this program. I Can't Settle Down. You hit the sentiment exactly. It's funny that you would say that, and I'll get a lot of musicians. COVID really, people were used to traveling. Musicians travel; that's part of their job, and they're used to traveling. And not only during COVID were you not having interaction with audiences, which is a big part of what you do. You do the thing, and they do the thing by giving back their responses. But nobody was on the road because nobody could go anywhere. And it's funny that this whole travel thing is always a theme. And new albums and old albums, the traveling on the road, because it's such a part of your life. And I think this is a great way to talk about it. And you've explained it, so let's play this then. I Can't Settle Down. Laura Orshaw, I can't thank you enough for making time available to spend a little bit of time with me on Unreal Bluegrass. And I can't wait to run into you again. I think I might. I bet you I'll find you somewhere.
Oh, definitely. Thanks for having me, and thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Thank you, Laura. This is I Can't Settle Down by Laura Orshaw.